The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. But you don't understand.
Because I'm a genius.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
It's getting weird!
And here we go.
It's the Riffs and Rants podcast with your host, Johnny Teflon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Establishment. And we'll be right back after the first gem of the day.
Slipping over into rebel lines.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Buenos dias. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Riffs and Rants podcast right here on Big Boom Radio. I am, of course, Johnny Teflon, your host, about to do a real fun, full-throttle, loosey-goosey episode because after this episode, looks like I'm going to be joined once again with a co-pilot, but more of that to come. For right now, let's talk about our opening gem for today, shall we? That was a little ditty from the mid-80s by Mr. David Johansen. It's called Heard the News, and it was off of his album Sweet Revenge, about 1985. Now, you might be familiar with David Johansen from his work with the New York Dolls, and this happened after that, but it was pre-Buster Poindexter. The alias that he picked up for that really annoying tune that you hear at weddings called Hot, Hot, Hot. And, of course, you might also know him as the cab driver in the Bill Murray movie Scrooged, which, of course, we get a healthy dose of every holiday season.
Hey, you don't mind if I smoke, do you?
Smoke, smoke, just drive.
Well, as always, of course, I had an agenda, and I went with that particular song because the opening segment tonight is about the news, and more specifically, a certain little network that used to be the beginning and end of all things newsworthy kind of fell out of the grace of mainstream America, and really everybody, if you look at the ratings. This is, of course, the good old folks at CNN.
This is CNN.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. James Earl Jones, who even he himself distanced himself from them some years ago. But, as I've said often on this program before, currently I watch a lot of Fox News, but I know well enough to, see what the big media machine is trying to do. So because of that, I will often watch CNN as well. And years ago, I used to watch a whole lot of CNN. I had some business down in Atlanta, and in my downtime, one of my to-dos was go to the studios there and watch them recording the shows and whatnot and head on down to CNN headquarters. It was like a to-do, you know? I used to watch them all the time.
It's time for Who Do You Trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
But, like I said, they all of a sudden got an agenda chock full of yellow journalism, and it's not so much that they were slanted against the things and the way of thinking that I normally would gravitate to. It's just a simple fact that I don't like my news biased, and like I said, the aforementioned Fox News is, look, they commit their sins too, no doubt. There is no fair news anymore, and I'm not going to beat that dead horse because we've done it so many times in this program already. However, what I do want to focus on in the case of today's, meaning the last 2 weeks, today's CNN is starting to finally get back to talking about the story, not making the story.
Message!
If you follow that logic. And a couple things have come across to me as really being refreshing the last couple weeks. And, just to tick some items off, they ran a thing on CNN.com about Tim Walz's, his DUI story from many years back. We're talking mid-90s, okay?
I used to be a fat, disgusting slob!
And, to be honest, DUIs happen to a lot of people. People do stupid things. I'm not going to vilify the man for that. However, to lie about it, as you're trying to get elected first to Congress and then as governor, and recount the story and twist or leave out some of the important facts, such as blowing, a 0.128, well above the Nebraska state limit, and then say that, the troopers pretty much had released you on your own recognizance to go take yourself to the hospital. And CNN God bless them, you know, did a little digging, and they spoke to the, I guess, arresting officers, the state troopers, and then they said, no, none of that's how it happened. You know, this is what he blew. This is what he was charged with. You know, we took him to the hospital for testing, on and on and on. And, of course, you know, the Walz Harris camp, not available for comment, but not available for comment even to CNN, which is just, like I said, kind of refreshing. I enjoyed that little piece of news work right there because over the last, maybe 8 years, you would never have gotten a story like that out of CNN. It just would have been glossed over and ignored. But now they're going after it. And I kind of like that. You know, is it a return to the glory days of, you know, Wolf Blitzer in the trenches with the troops in the Gulf War? I don't know. We'll see. But that's just one snippet. Next up, they, like all the other news outlets, are criticizing Vice President Harris for her lack of interviews and press conferences.
This is crazy. I don't know shit about fuck.
And granted, this is a double-edged sword because, you know, if they're not doing interviews for her, they've got no programming to do. They're losing ad revenue. So it is kind of a self-serving critique. However, it is really true that you need to listen to these people and even some of their political pundits, Van Jones being one of them, are saying, you know, we're a little concerned because she's not getting in front of people. We know that's not her strong point. Ad-libbing, you know, talking on the fly, making these points and pulling them out in a moment's notice and doing it in a coherent, non-giggly, stupid word salad kind of way.
Do you understand me? You crazy fuck.
They're all worried about that. So now they're voicing this as well. Now, again, granted, all the media outlets are saying the same thing. When is she going to get in front of people and start talking? Enough of this already. And she's using the same strategy that President Biden had used in the last election, the hiding technique, you know, but he could kind of get away with it because of everything that was going on with COVID. She has no excuse.
Fuck me.
No excuse whatsoever. And especially if she keeps touting things with the, you know, disclaimer of on day one, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And everybody's kind of saying, well, it's like 300 days into it and you haven't done jack squat. So, yeah, that's not holding a lot of water. You know, still on Kamala, the criticism of her latest economic plan and the things that she would like to do with credits and whatnot to make home buying more of a reality for young American families. And to offer up everybody else some rent relief, it's being panned, again, by both sides of the aisle and both sides of the media. Just panned. And CNN is right there, right up front, leading the charge. And again, I love it.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, what this does is not just people like me that would love to see any of the big three, you know, whether it's CNN, Fox News, or that shit show over at MSNBC, you know, let the cream rise to the top and start doing actual unbiased news. I'm kind of rooting for CNN to be the one that does it because I'm, you know, I'm a boomer now. I'm an old head. Give me my CNN as I scream it at the clouds. But the thing to remember is this does so much good. In particular, they're still criticizing the hell out of Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, conservatives in general, you know? But now, it's got some sense of legitimacy to it because the average American watching, or really anybody around the world watching, can see that they're levying criticisms, rightly so, at everybody. And that's the trick, my friends, because that's real news. There's no room for anybody to get offended. There's no room for anybody to launch bogus lawsuits back and forth because they're going after everyone. Just like the funniest things on TV, including animated stuff, is hysterical because nobody is spared. That's how the best comedy and that's how the best satire works. you get everybody equally. So there's always somebody out there in the audience that can relate and be like, huh, you know what? I hate that piece of shit too. Thank you for drawing that to my attention. I mean, I'm not expecting late night talk shows to follow suit anytime soon, because that's really more the Hollywood elitist machine that's always slanted left and is always going to slant left. And, you know, I don't care if we leave behind those people that are going to sit there and take the word of professional pretenders over those individuals who are actually in government and in the arena trying to do things for the American people. So, you know, they can go shit in their hat. But again,
that's a fact, Jack!
All of this stuff that CNN is doing to balance the scorecard really adds legitimacy now to any criticisms that they would have of Donald Trump or Vance or the Republican Party. And it couldn't have happened a moment too soon. You know, they've been trying to do this for years now, and they've had different CEOs come in, and they've cleaned house of a lot of their on-air personalities, but it just wasn't doing the trick, you know? So for every Don Lemon they get rid of, there would be an Anna Navarro waiting in the wings, okay?
Trash.
I believe in the Van Joneses that they've got on there, the Christian Amanpours, the Wolf Blitzers. There's a heck of a lot of good journalists with integrity and smarts left under the umbrella of CNN, you know? And it's very easy for them to stage one hell of a comeback. And like I said, personally, I'm rooting for them. It's a good day in the neighborhood. And again, could not have happened a moment too soon because there is so much going on in the world. We need to be informed now more than ever, at least in my lifetime. Okay? And I'm in the land of the 50s, so that's where that's coming from. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they can keep it up. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more news because really the whole presidential cycle of news, it's still in its early stages. We haven't even had the Democratic National Convention yet. That's popping off next week. And that's sure to be an unmitigated shit show. They've already got people rioting and protesting. It hasn't even started yet. So, yeah, strap yourselves in, kids. All right, we're going to jump quickly now into our middle gem of the episode because we, like I said, no holds barred, full throttle, wink, wink, into the subtopic, the middle segment, if you will. And let's cleanse the palate with a little tune by a German punk rock band called the V8 Wankers. And the name of this song is Speed Kills. And we'll be back in a couple minutes after this to explain and hit you with a whole bunch more stuff. Stay tuned.
Come with us if you dare into a twilight world of unspeakable horror. Speed kill, let's take you deep.
a trick. And being this bum gets me quick, 'cause I'm through. Out of sight and out of the blue. And there's a lot, a lot of power, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of love. I'm at his mercy.
And we are back. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that full throttle testosterone fueled tune by the V8 Wankers. Like I said, they're a German punk metal band, relatively new on the scene. Yeah, early 2000s they started. That song was off their album Hell on Wheels from 2008. And I first came across that song when I was doing an episode of the Rockabilly Rumble, and I was like, wow, this kind of kicks ass. And it was on my short list to start off this segment, and as you'll see, it was like super duper appropriate. So, fun fact, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show, but in addition to being a big fan of DC Comics, pretty much everything Star Wars, Indiana Jones, I am also a massive fan of the Mad Max movies.
I am the Night Rider. I'm a fuel-injected suicide machine.
There it is. Yes, yet another thing to collect odds and ends for and to pretty much stop whatever I'm doing when one of the movies is on TV. We've all got them, you know? And I guess I could probably throw Jaws into that mix too. But yes, I am an unabashed mark of the Mad Max franchise. Where do we start? You know, the original Mad Max, for the longest time, right off the bat, held the record for the most injuries due to stunts. Because it was so crazy. It was such a gonzo presentation of the film movement in Australia of the 70s and 80s called Oz. And they were putting out some really, really wacky, weird shit. You know, and I do prefer to think of Australia as British Texas, because it's kind of like no holds barred all the time. I mean, look at the continent, you know, more poisonous species per square inch than anywhere else on the planet, not to mention a harsh environment. I mean, for Christ's sake, the place was started as a penal colony, so it doesn't scream, you know, idyllic wonderland. No, Australians are hardcore tough magoos. They really are, because they have to be. And now it's just in the genes. So, of course, why would their movies be any different? So, in the original Mad Max, featuring a very young Mel Gibson, the film was shot on such a low budget that even though all the police, which what Mad Max originally was, all wear black leather uniforms, they can only afford a real leather jacket for Mel Gibson. Everybody else was fake. So that gives you an idea of what kind of budget they were working with. And it's, you know, I believe as it starts out, it says, you know, in the near future. So Mel Gibson's character, Max Rockatansky, is a highway patrolman, and his specialty is running down bad guys on the roads, because it's kind of like gangs are getting out of control. It's a little bit of a dystopian future, but we haven't had like the apocalypse yet. And through happenstance, he kind of kills one of these biker gang members, and then the rest of the biker gang is out to make his life a living hell, and they do wind up killing his wife and young son, and of course that's what sets him on the edge, you know. And his best friend gets burnt alive by one of these bikers, so he's pissed off, and he's already a bit of a loose cannon to begin with, but this just sets him over the edge, so he just goes on this, you know, as they say, rampage of adrenaline-fueled revenge. And the director, George Miller, used a lot of things in this film, like speeding up the frames, and I don't know what type of film and how many frames per second it was normally shot at, but the film shows its age. It's a little bit of a crackleture. Parts of it are dubbed because it's hard to understand with the Australian accent some of what they're saying. It's very grindhouse is probably the best way to put it. And as such, I think that helps it age even better, because now the longer it takes you to go back and see it again, it's like the film is aging. It's aging well, but the presentation of it is aging, and I think that adds to the legitimacy, right? So then when they jump to the next movie a few years later, the apocalypse of some form has happened, and they present us with the film The Road Warrior, which now it's a little more grizzled. Mad Max, he's out in the wasteland on his own, and he kind of hooks up with these people that have a community set up around this gasoline refinery. And there's all these crazy bad guy, you know, apocalypse trash trying to take it from him. And of course, they're violent and brutal and led with an iron fist by Lord Humongous. And it's just, yeah. So that's the one that people really think of when they think of Mad Max. And really defining the entire genre of post-apocalyptic movies like that. It really just, it's the blueprint. You know, in many ways, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I love the first one because it's the first one and it sets the tone. Just like the first Star Wars is probably the best, but everybody kind of likes to always say it's Empire Strikes Back. The Road Warrior is the exact same way. It's dirtier, grittier, not a very happy ending. It's just kind of like, damn, you know. So when the next one rolls around, Thunderdome, Beyond Thunderdome, okay, they kind of, depending who you ask, they kind of jumped the shark a little bit, because now we've got another celebrity in Tina Turner playing a role in this movie. It's got a big soundtrack, again, courtesy of a career resurgence for Tina Turner, and it's got kids in it.
Aww.
Can you hear the excitement in my voice? Got kids in it. So now you got an even more grizzled, world-weary Mad Max saddled with a bunch of kids. And it's just, you know, like when there's a sitcom on TV that's been around for like 10 years, everybody loves it, but it needs a little refresher. What do they always do? They introduce a baby. You're a kid. It's like, ugh. Here we go.
How about new?
And there's times when these kids that he comes across are just so damn annoying. I mean, the idea is cute, right? They were a jet airliner. It crashes. The adults pretty much take off, abandoning them, looking for help. Meanwhile, you know, Tina Turner, who as Auntie Entity, is running this place called Barter Town, which is a neat concept. You know, she was a waitress and she survived the bombs falling down and kind of gathered everybody together. And underneath Barter Town is this giant pig farm led by this little midget who rides around this big guy, collectively known as Master Blaster, right? So the whole town runs on methane, so you got that. I mean, it's got elements of what you really would want in a great Mad Max movie, but it was just kind of, I don't know, kind of sanitized, so it was missing something. That grittiness and the agedness that I had mentioned previously for the Mad Max, for the original, and now really even the Road Warrior, that is not there in Thunderdome. That looks like a big budget sci-fi movie. almost like something out of the Star Trek universe where nobody really gets that dirty kind of thing, you know? So again, not horrible, but nah, could take it or leave it. So then a couple years ago, we get, finally, a return to the franchise via Mad Max Fury Road, starring Tom Hardy as Mad Max. And I'm a big fan of Tom Hardy, like all of his movies, you know? And then you got Charlize Theron thrown in there, probably one of the most underrated actresses in Hollywood right now, introducing us to this new character of Furiosa, okay? I think his name is John Keyes Verne, who played the original toe cutter in the first Mad Max movie. He comes back under all the makeup as the main bad guy, Immortan Joe, okay? I liked much more about Fury Road than I didn't like. Sadly, you know, you only saw the last V8 Interceptor briefly in the beginning of the movie, and after that it gets, you know, cannibalized, and they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, just like Batman with the Batmobile, Mad Max needs the last of the V8 Interceptors. That's just how it is. So that was missing from it, but the same attention to detail of what a dystopian future could look like via the old recycled technology, primitive farming and agriculture and hydration technique. I mean, it was a feast for the eyes, you know, going through the giant sandstorms out in the Australian outback that are now chock full of radiation also. Well done. Yeah, well thought out, and everybody's dealing with different forms of, you know, radiation, sickness, and whatnot. Good stuff. I enjoyed it. And at least up to that point with that movie, it could still follow the same basic timeline, because amongst a lot of the fans of the franchise, that's their number one complaint, is that it's really hard to figure out the Mad Max timeline. Are these movies all happening in a row? Are they juxtaposed? And that really came front and center with the sequel to Fury Road, which was all about Furiosa. Okay? I just finished watching that, which really is why we're doing this segment today. Okay? I didn't care for it. I thought it lagged along. The whole thing was like a giant prologue. Okay? So if you want to open up and do some backstory like most good prequels do, okay, you spend the first 15 minutes of the film, maybe like that. Or, in the case of how they had redone the Star Trek franchise, you got to load that sucker with Easter eggs and just see how everything, you know, is connecting. And you do it at a decent clip, so your audience is watching it and saying, oh, that's where that came from. Oh, I never knew that. In this, it's kind of like, well, we know she has one arm in the first movie, so when are they going to cut that sucker off? You know, that kind of thing. And then she hides among Immortan Joe's legions of war boys and like his deformed sons. And it's like, obviously, it's a little girl. She's got these big, giant blue eyes, and she weighs about 20 pounds soaking wet. Nobody can figure out that it's a girl that he just went through all this trouble to recruit from a totally hamming it up Chris Hemsworth as Dementis. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm the only one that could simply not get past the rubber nose that he wears in the entire movie.
Check, please.
Oh my God, I feel so much better now that I actually got to say it out loud. He's got a prosthetic nose. I don't know why. Why can't he just look like Chris Hemsworth, okay? It was stupid and comical through the entire thing. I'm looking at this and I'm like,
you know, you could de-emphasize your nose if you wore something larger, like Wyoming.
I don't know if he looks like apocalyptic Thor or like a steroid version of the Child Catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, because the nose is out of control. I'm waiting for Digital Underground to come out and start doing a Humpty Dance.
I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom.
Why did they think he needed that? And then next, why did they think it looked good? Because I assure you, friends, it does not, okay? Now, again, the stunts, fabulous, okay? The introduction of the other character, Praetorian Jack, who's kind of like a Mad Max figure in this movie. He's Furiosa's mentor. I kind of liked him. You know, that was a redeeming quality. And the girl that played Fury was not bad. It's just that the script was just—it's just not there. They could have done so much more with it. And again, you don't know when this one takes place. Is it during the period of Mad Max? Because you would think that would like kind of match up. But in the Tom Hardy Mad Max movie, where Furiosa is just, you know, basically a few years younger than him, wouldn't that mean that there was no apocalypse yet? It's mind-numbing. So something's really jacked up there. Or, you know, because let's face it, we're watching a science fiction movie. You could do the whole suspension of disbelief thing and not even try and peek behind the curtain and enjoy it just like that. I mean, the movie made money, so apparently a lot of people have done that. So, in a nutshell, I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. It was just good, you know, because I'm that kind of fan. Sometimes, even if it sucks, you still want to see something more. Yeah, looking at you, Indiana Jones movies. Even if it's not that good, it's still an Indiana Jones movie. So, yeah, how bad could it be? So that's how I felt about the saga of Furiosa. And I'll be interested to see where they go next with the franchise, you know? And sadly, sure, at some point, they're probably going to reboot the original, which they never should do. And I tell you what, I would love if they could somehow get his crazy-ass signature on the dotted line and get Mel Gibson back for one more run at it. I mean, shit, if Harrison Ford can play Indiana Jones, why can't Mel Gibson play Mad Max? I mean, he's already crazy. That's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Throw him in his old black leather outfit and boom, let's do it. And please, 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 please bring back the last of the V8 Interceptors. All right, that's it for the subtopic. And we're going to chase this sucker with another tasty gem all about screaming down the highway. This is a little ditty by Deep Purple called Highway Star. And I'm going to play that for you now. And I'll be back in a couple more minutes with some more things and stuff and a wrap up. Stay tuned. right, and we're back. Like I said, that was Deep Purple doing their tune Highway Star, and that's off their album Machine Head back in 1972. Just a good hard rock driving tune. And I think what kind of really makes it, even though it's not showcased front and center, it's you could hear it, but it's that damn Hammond organ. It just makes it. There's just something about that. And my, you know, opinion of classic rock is some songs are just they kick ass with that organ. Anyway, so that was closing out after a little segment on Mad Max. I even have a from Mad Max, the original, the Main Forest Patrol tag, a sticker. I actually had to get it from Australia to put on the back of my truck because I'm that special kind of nerd. But it's my thing. So yeah, deal with it. So, also, like I said earlier, looks like pretty sure the next podcast will have a co-pilot.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Along with yours truly. I'm going to leave everything for just when it happens, you know? But I will say that, I'm feeling good about this one. And we'll see if we can recapture some magic. Otherwise, with everything going on in the world, I'm so happy that we are at the cusp of another season of the NFL. Okay, full disclosure, again, regular listeners know this, big New England Patriots fan, biggest, okay? We're not doing shit this season. And I know that going into it, but I'm a real Pats fan who liked them before the days of Tom Brady. So, you know what? I could deal with a couple years of mediocrity, you know? And I'm also the kind of person that I never boo my team as disgusted as I might get with them. I'm also a New York Mets fan, so that explains that.
Just a bit outside.
But, yeah, I'll watch the games. I'll root for my team, hope for the best. And look, if you lose, that's life, but as long as they try and put out a good effort, I will be happy. Now, that being said, I guess it's time for my way too early Super Bowl predictions. Ooh. Yeah, last 3 years I've done this, I have not even been close. Right? But, this time around, what can I say? On the NFC side, I think it's going to be San Francisco. I think the surprise team of the season just might be the Dallas Cowboys. But I think at the end of the day, representing the NFC, it's going to be San Francisco. Now, the bigger, messier situation is the AFC. I think we're going to see a changing of the guard. I do not see, at least this year, Kansas City going back to the big dance. Surprisingly, I mean, there's a lot of competition, and all of a sudden it seems to be living in the AFC East, which for years the Patriots ruled with an iron fist. It was almost comical. Well, now they're going to be in the basement, and you got three teams there in the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins that are no joke, okay? And I don't know. I think there's, again, because I'm an old head, I just think it's a better NFL, it's a better playoff season when the Dolphins are in the playoffs. There's just something nostalgic about it. I don't know. So, yeah, I think the Dolphins are going to do quite well, but I don't even believe I'm actually saying this, provided they can keep Aaron Rodgers healthy. I genuinely see the New York Jets making a run for it. So there's my super duper early prediction. We're still in preseason. Next Super Bowl is going to be your San Francisco 49ers and your New York Jets. Take it to the bank. I wonder what those odds would open up at right now. So otherwise, gang, things are good. We're heading into the fall. It's my favorite time of the year. So much to look forward to. Before you know it, it'll be Halloween. And then after that, holiday season. But let's hold off on that. Let's get through this election. Let's start fresh in September with a new look for the show. So much stuff going on. Always have some new programming hitting the airways in bigboomradio.com. So check it out. Check out that website. because you can also, right off the bat, listen to episodes of the podcast straight from there. As if it wasn't easy enough already. See? I look out for you. And there we go. Another show in the kitty. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Johnny Teflon, and I will see you on the flip side.